This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It's our twice a month, or is it bi-weekly? Who knows? But about every other Tuesday, we're talking with Michaela Rice, the naturalist from Gooseberry Falls State Park, on my Wednesday morning show. And wandering nature news, is that what we've got, Michaela?
Yep, I'm here. This is our first telephone interview.
Yeah.
I am, just dealing with a little bit of winter, spring cold, you know, the good stuff. So
it does happen, and I hear you've been taking care of yourself, but you might need to lay low. I promise not to tax you too much. I'll try to send some softball questions that are right up your alley, but you tell me, Michaela, when to relent, because everybody needs their rest.
Yeah, this is the most talking I've done in a few days, but no, okay. Happy to chit-chat. We had our fun candlelight event.
Yeah.
I don't think we've touched base since then.
No, what was that? That was Saturday 10 days ago, 12 days ago.
Yeah, and on holiday the weekend.
February 18th, beautiful, beautiful evening that I got a chance to sample a little bit. Never did connect with you, but what I saw was just a simply gorgeous display of lights, of candles in different kinds of settings and ice luminaries and in grottos along the way around near the falls. It was really something, Michaela. I don't know how much effort it took, but there had to be weeks of involvement to get all of those structures that you had illuminated figured out.
Yeah, our building and grounds crew were kind of stalking them for the past month, and we were nervous because we got that melt and then we got a bunch of rain the week before, but they held up. They kind of stash them behind a shed and hope for the best, and it turned out good. I like the different settings, like you said, that the different luminaries or the candles were in. So it wasn't just the same thing everywhere you went. It looked a little different, and we did have volunteers. You know, that takes a lot of work getting volunteers, but once people are there at the park, it goes smooth, and it's a lot of fun, and we got to meet new people. And yeah, overall, I think it was a huge success. We had at least like 1,000 visitors come, which is kind of what we expected. And I think people were excited to be out, you know, after a few years of cancellations. So
yeah.
I hope everyone enjoyed the beautiful time.
We're in kind of a balmy time of the winter, and yet it wasn't slushy. We weren't sloshing in puddles. Mm-hmm. The skiing was doable. A lot of people on snowshoes, most of us walking. And I just highly recommend everyone put it on your calendar for next year. Don't know, will it be probably in the President's Day weekend again, Michaela, when it comes around on the next year?
Yeah, it's usually, I think, that part of February.
Okay. Just to make a mental note of it, that you've got to check this out, because it was quiet with many, many people around, and it was just everyone was, I won't say everyone was behaving. Everyone was having an enjoyable time without having to shriek like they were at a frat party. So it was really special.
I think people kind of get into the moment, and even there was a lot of kids there, but they kind of sunk into the moment as well, and I saw lots of different aged people. I was with my family, and we kind of snuck out early, so I'm sorry I missed you, but next year I'm sure I'll be there for the whole thing, and I got to go check out the bonfire. So,
yes, I made it over to the bonfire, and I was surprised at just how many different DNR employees were on hand. Is this like an all-hands-on-deck moment? It just was remarkable.
Yeah, some people sneak out for the event, but most of the time people are there and hanging out and wanted, you know, a lot of park staff, you know, I'm kind of one of the few people that, well, maybe there's half of us that are really involved with the visitors most of the days, and then the other people are kind of serving behind the scenes, and
yes.
So they get a good opportunity to get out and meet people, and they're the ones always making everything happen. They're the ones that keeping the trails clean. They're the ones keeping your bathroom clean and your campsite clean, and they don't get a lot of visitor interaction sometimes. So if you see any of those folks at the park, just thank them. I feel like they need to be thanked more than I do.
That's a really good point that I didn't think of, that I was seeing some of the folks that were on the behind-the-scenes staff, and they could really use a thumbs up for the wonderful condition that I find most of our state parks, and Gooseberry in particular, to be in all the time. So it takes a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Thanks for pointing that out.
So much. Yeah, absolutely. One thing I wanted to tell you that we did see on our way, we were lighting the path down by the river, and I don't take that trail much in the winter because I heard it's pretty icy. And so we were just walking with our candles and we saw some grouse displays. And it's not quite mating season for grouse, but I believe they were doing a territorial display. It was one male and he was poofing out and had his ruff all spread out, the black glossy ruff that he had. And then his, you know, big tail and his wings are out, but he wasn't drumming. They do this head shaking and then they chase off the other males. So we got to see that, a group of like 10 of us, and we were talking and stuff, and the grouse, you could tell, had one thing on his mind.
Yes, and you think
protecting
that...
Protecting his territory.
So he intended that display towards you all, you humans out there.
Well, no. We walked up other, on it, but okay. There was still some other birds. I believe they were males, or maybe they also chase off females too. Grouse in general are very territorial. So he was just kind of probably a little spruce grove. You could tell the sun had melted some of the snow in there, so it was likely warm, and that was his kind of winter hangout spot. Really cool to see.
So this is kind of part of nature's clock ticking here. We're now 3 weeks out from the vernal equinox, and what does that signify for, let's just talk about particular species that I know you had the large birds, the owls, on your mind today when we connected.
I heard one. I'm in St. Paul over the weekend. My friend at Teguch, Kurt, has been hearing some screech owls, so it is mating season. I have not heard my big friend, the great horned owl, yet. They make those really deep hoots in the February, March that just kind of make your soul vibrate when you're outside at, you know, it's just pitch black and you just hear this just beautiful resonating sound. So the owls are mating. I don't know if you watch any of the DNR Eagle Cam, but they have been on some eggs as well, and the Eagle Cam went viral last week because the nest was covered in that fluffy snow that we got.
Yes.
And the parents just sat underneath the snow, as we've talked about. It's very actually insulating for them, but of course everyone on social media was like, oh, I can't believe they do that in the snow.
For folks that have, it's been at least a couple of years since I observed anything on the DNR Eagle Cam. I thought it was the DNR.
Oh, sure.
Is this kind of in an undisclosed location so we're not bothering these birds? Or what location in the state is usually
I don't even
there?
Know.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's in a river valley somewhere.
What I saw seemed to be in a large white pine tree.
Okay.
Not sure what you're looking at. Yeah,
the
white pines have these beautiful branch structures that allows these 200-pound nests or whatever they are to be built in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and they have, you know, all these eagles probably monitored, and this is a residential nest. I missed the web series about it last week, but I'm sure they would have talked about how they chose the nest and maybe if this has been the one on the cam for a long time. But it's a really cool way to spy on nature. It's non-invasive, and we get to watch the production of new raptors being born every year. I think eagle chicks are probably a little cuter than owl chicks. Owl chicks actually go through kind of a creepy stage.
Do they go through an extraterrestrial phase?
Oh, man, they are wild looking. Yeah,
yeah.
And their big eyes and the way that they kind of stare at you. And I've helped raise some baby owls, and yeah, they are very feisty creatures.
Well, we're visiting with Michaela Rice here today. She's doing us a big favor because she's a little under the weather. Michaela, you were talking about the time of the year where reproductive processes are ongoing, whether it's mating and or gestation. You were talking about the owls, other large birds, or even some mammals. Any reflection on where we are in the different animals' cycles?
Yeah, I know foxes and coyotes are starting. Foxes for sure have a big breeding time here in February, March. I know that biologists will warn folks if you see two foxes stuck together in your backyard, not to worry. There's a time and a place for that, and it is currently the time and the place for that, so no need to worry about that. And then our cats, our bobcats and lynxes and stuff, will start to go through their mating, I believe, in March as well. So
Now that would be hard to observe. I imagine that would be a rare event for you to observe that.
Yeah, but they also mate a lot at, like, during a day or something. They go through a lot of sessions. So maybe, but you probably would never see that. We don't see cats in general. So.
Yes, indeed.
But I'm out here in my quote-unquote backyard, my apartment backyard, and I'm staring at my resident deer herd that I do not feed, but they just live in this empty lot by my house. And they don't have babies until May, but that'll be something we'll have to talk about with all my fawn capturing background.
Yeah, and I imagine you can rest assured that somebody in some neighborhood near you is either on purpose or inadvertently feeding them. I was pleased to hear the report that about the deer harvest, and I thought I heard that there was either one or no cases of chronic wasting disease in at least in northeast Minnesota. Now, I may be very inaccurate in what I'm recalling. Did that ring true to you?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Northeast Minnesota has been pretty clear for CWD, so you just got to keep it that way.
Right, and that hence sometimes my concern about us concentrating the deer is that we're doing good so far, and I don't want to change that. Yeah. A neighbor is observing fissure tracks in a small watershed in my neighborhood. I don't know whether is the fissure in the mink family per se, or is just...
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I don't know what, if you know anything about when they are going about their raising a litter.
Oh, that would be some good homework for me to look into the...
Consider,
our must-a-lives.
Consider it assigned. You've been assigned, Michaela. And just this note from an observer around the clock, kind of at my house of the bird feeding station, that this year there seems to be a significant decline in the predominance, frequency of seeing red poles and pine siskins. And I guess things could be cyclical, but we're always worried about, you know, our songbird population and especially our winter hardy species. So maybe something to take up with one of your colleagues at the DNR who's on the bird side.
Yeah, I'll be asking around. I know some of my local, you know, friends at the park too haven't seen any red poles either. That's a bird I've been hearing a little bit about. So I'll keep my ears open. And
the thing about them, Michaela, is when you see one red pole, you're probably about to see 500. When you don't see them, it's kind of dramatic, and because there's a lack of this flurry of birds, and they're ground feeders, so they scurry about, and they're very amusing to watch. So at my house, we're missing them. Just was wondering where they might be.
I'm not sure, but they do have cute little hairdos and little bodies, so
and they're usually very winter hardy, so there's nothing about this winter that would have put them off. So just another question, another homework assignment maybe. All in all, I think we should let you go and just let you know how much we enjoy adventuring with you on Wandering Nature News on KTWH. And in a couple weeks, if you're back and feeling better, I'll quiz you on your homework assignments.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Leo.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Michaela. Take care. Get better.
Bye.
Bye now. As Michaela Rice, the naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. This is Leo signing off from Wandering Nature News on KTWH this first week of March 2023.